And welcome in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it feels weird that it's Thursday. We just talked about a Titans reaction all day yesterday, and now here we are like 3 days away from another game. It's fun stuff.
Yeah, quickly got to pivot. Got to pivot to the Texans. Of course, this should be Bills Chiefs tonight. Actually, last night at home, Brandon's like, what's the Thursday night game, Dad? And I'm like, well, son, there's no Thursday night game.
Got bad news for you, son.
But you did get to watch Tuesday night football, and you'll get a Monday doubleheader.
I like the Monday doubleheader.
Yeah, the Bills Chiefs, right? I think that's at 4 o'clock Monday, if I'm not mistaken. So,
but we finally get like a good game.
I know.
Right.
For Thursday night football, and then it's like, nope, it's postponed.
It's gone.
Blame the Titans.
But tune in next week when we have like Jags versus Falcons or something or something like lame like that. It's
Jags Lions Sunday. They totally should have made that the Thursday game.
So I gave some fantasy advice to someone because you know I actually had them. I was like, because they have Drew Brees and obviously Drew Brees is on a bye week, and that she was like, so who do I pick up? And I was like, go pick up Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford versus the Jags this week.
Yeah, could do well.
Go pick him up. Because Matt Stafford is a stat stuffer.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's
great
a
fantasy
stuffer.
Quarterback.
He is, but he's just an awful quarterback after that.
I don't think he – I honestly think he's good.
I like Matt Stafford, but, you know.
It's guilt by association with him, you know. Take that Honolulu Blue off him, and I bet you
– Could be Hall of Famer.
Well, that list we read yesterday, I don't even remember where he was. I think he was in the 20s. It was like – That QB list. Where did they have Tannehill? Tannehill 18?
I don't put any stock in that list whatsoever.
We've probably given it too much pub already. Man, that was bad.
Justin Herbert at 15. It took me like all day to get over that.
Yeah, so Herbert just at 15 awful. And Tannehill at 18.
Just ridiculous.
It got Robbie so mad he had to like go to the outdoors.
Yeah,
to
get away.
He had to like reflect on why Justin Herbert was number 15 on a quarterback list with other quarterbacks.
Yeah, I tweeted out something from a creek yesterday just because I was so mad. I had to go visit nature.
I will tell you with the Tannehill thing, and even like with people in my company who I like and respect a lot, and we've had like we had Mike Sando on, we've had Lindsey Jones on. We've had Shiel Kapati. So those are three NFL writers. And I would say collectively, they still – like they would probably rank him around – I bet like no higher than 15. You know, like there's still this – like I've heard, system quarterback, which to me –
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, to me, everyone is a system quarterback, right?
Yes.
I think that phrase works for college guys, even though it's been debunked a lot of times. There used to be a big thing with, you know, these spread offenses, and it doesn't translate to the NFL. I mean, Mariota heard that. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, like, that Texas Tech offense, I don't know. Well, sometimes you're really freaking good. But, I mean, Lamar Jackson is absolutely a system quarterback, right? That system is designed to take advantage of him. So I don't even know what it would be for Tannehill. I guess because they have a good running back and they run a lot of play action off it, that somehow diminishes – what he is as a
perfect passes that he throws over the shoulder to A.J. Brown.
You know, like, so Kyle Tucker and I in the press box, and he brought it up talking the other night. He's like, you know, Tannehill MVP. Well, you know, what do you think about that? Which, honestly, it had not crossed my mind. And I still, like, it's early. I know we're talking about it here, but it's the first segment of the show, you know. It's early for that. And I don't know that it'll ever get to that because he's not going to have monster numbers, and already there's so much momentum for Russell Wilson, deservedly so. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, who would be the top three right now?
It's Wilson, Rodgers, and then probably
you got to be Mahomes, right?
Yeah,
I mean Mahomes still has to be right there. It would be very hard for him to really, to me, get seriously in that, but to totally dismiss it too, I think is just, again, like the people want to dismiss Tannehill. There's just this urge to just, he's pretty good, but it's like, man, you gotta start. The numbers are one thing, and they're pretty amazing, really. But, again, watch the guy play. And I think that's obviously a big part of it.
And
still
I think
here.
People don't understand. Do you know how hard it is to, like, steady have a starting job in this league? Like, we see, like, the Jets are already giving up on Sam Darnold.
Titans fans should be well aware of how hard it is to have a steady starting job in this league.
Right.
Like, so it's Like, yeah,
I think Titans fans appreciate him, right?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. But I just think from a national perspective, it's kind of like, well, I mean, he's good because of their defense, and he's good because of Derrick Henry. And, like, Derrick Henry's been good this year, but he hasn't been, like, the Derrick Henry we saw last year.
Yeah. Well, and to that point, even with Titans fans, I don't know what the breakdown is, but a lot of them would have preferred Brady over Tannehill at the time.
Still?
No, I don't think still. Okay. But I think at the time when they were, like, who were they? And it was obvious that, I mean, and Vrabel and Robinson were clearly, they were like, yeah, did you guys watch Tannehill last year? Because we did. We saw him every day in the building, and he's 31. But also, remember when Tannehill signed that deal, the anger around the league, like just even from like players from other teams, it was like, these guys.
But do you think
it's because of Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
Look at that deal. It's $29.5 million. You know how
looks
how,
pretty good right
how
now.
How much of a bargain that looks like right now?
I think a lot of that had to do with Derrick Henry wasn't signed yet.
Yes. You're right.
And obviously, it's the mindset of you should pay the guy that got you there first rather than the quarterback. And a lot of people feel like they have to stick up for the running back position because they get so, you know, underutilized when it comes to contract negotiations and things of that nature.
Well, yeah, like their salary is actually going down over time, like, whereas every other position is exploding. Yeah.
Like I saw a stat, I saw someone talking about this on – it probably was ESPN of – they're basically saying, is it worth paying running backs nowadays? Because they're using the example of the Panthers are still playing well without Christian McCaffrey, and they're playing well with Davis, and so like why should we pay running backs if Christian McCaffrey's hurt and you're getting the same production from Davis? But I'm like, still Christian McCaffrey. Like when he comes back, I'm pretty sure he's gonna make that team way better than they are now.
Yeah.
So I just think a lot of people were just like, look, take care of the guy that got you there first. And then pay the quarterback.
Yeah.
And they did it the other way. But the opposite way.
You're right. No doubt. But it also still came with the, but Tannehill's not that good. And come on, the only reason he was good is because of the running back, which was never accurate. But yeah, I would say a lot of people have to be looking at that now with a different thought. But I still think around the league, I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe if they're 9-0 and he stays on this pace. I mean, he's on pace to break every basically passing record in franchise history right now.
He is, and I think the stat that the NFL on CBS put out there yesterday got a lot of people's attention on Twitter yesterday when
we
talked about Mahomes' comparison. Both 11-3 in their last 14 starts. I think Mahomes has thrown for 72 more yards during that span. Tannehill has 31 touchdowns, Mahomes with 28, both with 6 picks. Tannehill's quarterback rating 116.7, Mahomes 102.3. I think that got a lot of people's attention yesterday. He's been pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What we're trying to tell you.
Yeah, and, you know, people can – however you want to fit your argument, you can always say, yeah, stats are stats, but also look at wins. And, again, look at how he's playing. The idea that there's some, like, system here that hides him or whatever, it's just not accurate. I think it'll always go back to until it changes the playoff games where it felt like he threw the ball 3 times. You know, I mean, in the New England game, he threw 2 touchdown passes. He threw a bad pick. He threw a couple big touchdown passes at Baltimore too. But the numbers weren't great. It was like 100 some yards passing. So, but the guy is. Bottom line is, it looks like a great deal right now. The 4-year deal for him. I mean, 4 years at 118, and you look at what guys have been paid since they made that deal. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, when we go back to, like, system quarterback, isn't every, like, majority of quarterbacks in the league system quarterbacks?
They all are.
You know, like, when you look at Patrick Mahomes, like, yeah, Patrick Mahomes would have been good, but playing in Andy Reid's system makes him look elite. It makes him look even better.
That's an interesting debate, but I agree to some extent, right? And the players around him.
Yeah, and like Lamar Jackson. Do you think like this
system
Lamar Jackson without John Harbaugh would be the Lamar Jackson anywhere else? Like, especially how they set up the offensive plays for Lamar Jackson to be able to make him great and make him who he is. So, like, yeah, like this whole he's a system quarterback. Like, everybody in the league is a system quarterback. Yeah, you get your few, like, regardless of who the offensive coordinator or who the coach is, they're going to still be the same person. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, even though we haven't seen it yet. But there's a lot of guys like that. But
it's all, they're all, yeah, I think system quarterback is not even something that should be used in the NFL. Like, I get it in college because, like, you can okay, the kid, the Titans, Cole McDonald, right? Monster numbers. Came here, and they realized pretty quickly, yeah, this guy's
not going to work.
It's not it. So, and that was when he came, it was like, okay, so how much of what he did was because he's in a system that, you know, inflates your numbers and makes it easy. One read, a lot of these quarterbacks are looking at the sideline, right? They're not, or they're reading one half of the field. Pro people still like guys who are in pro offenses like you know, Stanford, like the team I cover, Michigan State, Michigan, you know, even Alabama, really. I mean, they like the guys who actually have to read a defense and make a decision at the line, Tennessee's offense, versus the one read, look to the sideline, you tell me what to do every time, right? So, like, right. That I get. System quarterback works for that. In the NFL, they're all system quarterback. I mean, do you produce or not? You're in the NFL. It's the highest level. It's kind of stupid.
Joe, you were there for Mike. Well, I guess you weren't there for it. You were online for it.
But I am there for
you
it.
You were there for it. For Mike Vrabel's press conference that he had after the big win against the Bills, what stood out to you from that press conference?
We had Robot Jim, yes, again. Amazing. We had Robot Terry McCormick, too. So,
it's growing.
Yeah. We had a really – the chat battles – getting a little intense over there. In fact, I took a picture for you guys. I meant to text it to you guys. I'll text you guys the little segment from the chat room. But yeah, I mean, it was obviously Kamale Correa. We're going to talk about that next segment. You know, that was a lot of the discussion. Probably the thing that stood out most. You know, the confirmation that boom, it's just over. Boom. Okay. You want to move on, you move on.
See you
on.
Later, buddy.
It's interesting. I think back. I mean, I remember being in Baltimore last year and interviewing Kamale Correa after that game, and he was incredible in that game. You talk about system quarterback and system – there's a system defender moment because that was a totally different kind of defensive plan for a totally different kind of offense, and basically it's like you're stopping option football along with, you know, the elements of – pro-style football, and Correa was great against his old team, and it was like this crowning moment for that guy, but he just hasn't been able to, you know, get on the field. But that it was that, and then, you know, really just moving on, Vrabel had some interesting things to say about Romeo Crennel, TD. Jerron Davenport asked him about that, about the mentorship, and clearly there's one of the guys who, when Vrabel was early in his career in New England, Romeo kind of helped him mentally figure out how to be a starter in the NFL. So a lot of respect between those guys who will be facing off Sunday.
And like you said, when we come back, we're going to dive into the Kamale Correa situation. How surprised are we that he requested a trade at the time that he did? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
On Correa and on outside linebacker, how do you feel about your depth there at this point? And when he's healthy, do you feel like a guy like Roberson is able to be a well-rounded player and give you some snaps there?
Yeah, we'll try to get Roby in there and work him in, and, you know, we'll see how well-rounded he is, you know, each and every week. You know, not much to really add. You know, sometimes you take three outside linebackers, sometimes you take four, sometimes you take five, depending on what you need each and every week. You know, we'll see where we are this week. A lot of it's going to be determined about injuries. You know, that was pretty taxing game for us physically, so we'll have to get healthy quickly for the Texans this week.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday talking about the trade. Well, I guess he didn't know the trade at that point, but talking about the outside linebacker spot of Kamale Correa, who literally yesterday, boys, right when we got off the air, it came out that Kamale Correa was unhappy. He had requested a trade, and the Titans were about to facilitate that. And if they couldn't get it done, we're going to release him. Correa ultimately ends up getting traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Titans send Correa and a 2021 seventh-round pick to the Jags for a sixth-round pick. So kind of interesting that a trade actually happened there after, you know, they admitted they would release him. At that
I will
point.
Say,
but, like, well, the Jags, I mean, yeah. The Jags didn't want anybody else to pick him up.
That was the quickest. Like, you, he's like, I want to get traded. Okay, welcome to the Jags.
All
right, all right, you're a Jags now. That's like the quickest like moves ever.
How does Jacksonville sound, Kamale? Like, I hear Jacksonville's lovely in October.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell's still a free agent at this point. Like, and Kamale Correa was like, oh, I want to get traded. Okay, well, you're in Jacksonville now. Congratulations.
He'll definitely get some opportunity there.
Yeah, there. Yeah, he may. So earlier, Kayla Anderson asked him about it, and that's what he said. He's like, well, we've told him he's will be released. And he's like, you know, unless someone calls us, basically. I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, unless someone calls us, and they did. So I don't even know how you know, – it's not like they traded him for a pick. They traded him to move, you know, to go. They basically got, you know, a six out of a seventh. So however you phrase that, it's not much. But, yeah, it's surprising. I was surprised from the start. I mean, Harold Landry played the most snaps on that defense the other night. He played the highest percentage of snaps of anyone on the defense. He played basically every snap or really close to it. And that was one of the things that, I mean, last year that was the starting outside linebacker crew, Correa and Landry. Excuse me. And it was supposed to be sort of this movement to kind of give Landry a little bit more of a rest. And, of course, obviously you bring in two high-priced new guys. And I didn't think Correa was trending toward having a ton of snaps this year, but I'm still surprised at how little he was used early, like when Beasley wasn't available. But he just – I don't know if it just performance fell off, I guess. They didn't find a real place for him. They traded for him, of course, when Dean Pease came here with Vrabel, and Dean Pease had him with the Ravens. And he had, you know, he's a prominent pick. I think second or third round pick, I believe. I can look that up real quick. But he hadn't worked out at all in Baltimore. No. But Dean Pease still liked him enough to where they said, let's bring this guy in. And I think he's been a nice player for them. Last year, he was really important in that playoff run.
He was. And to the point about the, kind of the snap count he's got so far, this coming from Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, he had 38 snaps through three games. 38 snaps, accounted for 14% of the snaps, and then 23 snaps on special teams as well. And, of course, did not play against Buffalo, was taken off of the COVID list, which that's to me, like the when I saw it yesterday, that was my first reaction of,
yeah,
all right, you're upset you didn't play against the Bills, and you were literally just taken off the COVID list? Like, what did you expect? But
right.
It seems like this has been building for some time.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. No, same thing. I was like, wait a minute, you weren't going to play. There's like the ramp-up period, you know, this wasn't like you got disrespected by not playing. You just got off the COVID list. But, yeah, I think it's more than that. It's the whole season. So they're back to sort of, you know, they're back to this thin group at outside linebacker, basically.
They carry three. Sometimes they'll carry four, and sometimes they'll carry five, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. I mean, I tried to ask about Roberson because I think Roberson's like Beasley, which is he is – a situational rusher, and he's got some pass rushing ability, but like Clowney and Landry are, because Correa to me was a first and second down guy you could weave in there, and now they don't have really that guy in reserve. They have Clowney and Landry, and then you got two pass rushers. They could use another piece there.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, does Jared still think Correa is better than Clowney?
I missed that take. Was that part? Was that Fireball Hot Take Friday
it must
take?
Have been. I don't know.
I hope you save that one for a Friday, Jared. Jared's been getting in these pressers heavy. I think Jared's doing a 1 year anniversary show on Tannehill.
He loves him some Tannehill.
He loves the 1 year anniversary.
Nothing wrong with that.
The 1 year anniversary of Tannehill is a big Jared storyline. But I did not hear the Correa better than Clowney. I did get a text from Jared about Clowney during the game last night, though, or the other night.
It's become a weekly tradition.
Yeah, just so everybody knows, I will every time Clowney doesn't make a play, I will get a text from Jared. By the way, you know, in that answer, that very detailed answer Vrabel gave me on my question,
yes,
he did mention the injury report. So let me just run this down. Now
it was
everyone remember
pretty fascinating.
Yeah, now everyone remember this is the estimated injury list because of the week they had to have Wednesday off. So today I'll be out there to see how it looks, and maybe a lot of these guys will be out there, but let's just go through it. These are all guys who did not practice, who would not have practiced, basically, is what the Titans are saying. AJ Brown with his knee, Clowney with a knee, Nick DeZubnar, the shoulder. Darrington Evans, the hamstring. So there we go. That's confirmation that it was a hamstring, not a rib. I think someone asked about a rib yesterday. It was the hammy. Chris Jackson, hamstring. And that, of course, these hamstrings, man, they just can just nag you all year. Daquan Jones, foot. Jonathan Joseph, hamstring. So start thinking about that secondary. Today we'll shed a lot of light on this, but look at that secondary right now. Joshua Kalu, shoulder. Dennis Kelly, groin. Taylor Lewan, shoulder. We know this one. Jeremy McNichols, ribs. Chris Milton, foot. Larrell Murchison, ankle. He was down in the second half. He did come off and looked fine coming off. Kareem Orr, illness. Jonnu Smith, quad. Kenny Vaccaro, hamstring and calf. Nick Westbrook, Ekine, hamstring. And then the one limited participation. So he would have been limited, but he would have practiced, Malcolm Butler, with a quad. Their entire cornerback crew is hurt.
With some sort of muscle injury.
Right. I mean, now you look at this. Look at this list and then think about all that time off and everything. And I think you could probably draw some kind of conclusion here that there's a link.
Yeah, and I to your point, you know, Chris Jackson's been dealing with a hammy. Malcolm Butler's been dealing with a quad injury. And I wonder, like, how much of that list that they put out there yesterday is just, if we would have practiced today, we're taking things very, very slowly this week.
Right.
And we'll find out more of an answer to that today.
Yes.
But you did hear Vrabel at the end of that clip we opened the segment with say, you know, that game was pretty taxing for us. We've got to get healthy in a hurry coming up on Sunday against the Texans. And when you have some of those muscle injuries, and that's what we talked about heading into the game against Buffalo, you hadn't really done anything in, like, 2 weeks. Will injuries be a problem? Like going from basically doing nothing to back up to full NFL game speed, it's tough to do. I wonder how injuries will you'll come out of that game with injuries. We'll get a clearer picture of that today. Even a guy like A.J. Brown, it says his knee there.
That's a big one.
That's a big one. That's obviously what he was dealing with before. So is it just kind of left over from that they wouldn't have practiced him because of the knee? Or did he re-aggravate it? I mean, that's something to look at.
Well, again, I just happened to catch this in the press box, you know, looking up at the screen. But they definitely closed in on him at one point. He was wincing over there. He also said after the game, he's like, I'm getting the cold tub twice. You know, so some of that's probably just the, you know, first football game in a long time for him. So there's just different. It's just different, I'm sure, on your body, right? But, yeah, he's one to watch for sure because they need him. Now, the COVID list also – They took Humphreys and Batson off.
Yep.
So, you know, with the time between games, you know, I would think Humphreys would be there Sunday, which would be big. And Batson's on the practice squad, but you never know how things will go where Batson, it's good to have him active in case they need him. When he's had to play this year, he's done well.
Yeah, and good to have, I mean, like you said, Humphreys coming back in this game, you know, in the slot. He's just such a weapon. And I think – and I've seen this a little bit on Twitter. A lot of Titans fans are just kind of writing the Texans off right now. They're 1-4. They fired the coach.
Don't do it.
I wouldn't do that, especially this week. It's a short week for the Titans. We just read the injury list that they've got going on right now. This has the makings of a trap game. If there's such a thing in the NFL, which I don't know if there really is, this has the makings of you better watch out for the Houston Texans this Sunday.
No, 100%. I mean, we know, we've seen Deshaun Watson, still Deshaun Watson. Brandon Cooks just had, 160 yards. Will Fuller is healthy and playing. Whenever Deshaun Watson has Will Fuller, he's better. They've got a good receiving core. They absolutely miss one of the top two or three receivers in the league. David Johnson has been okay. He's still a guy that, considering how the Titans have stopped the run, guy you worry about. No, I mean, this Titans defense Sunday is going to be challenged big time. And it is, I think it's, you know, you talk about short week and even just, I think there was so much emotion clearly for this team against the Bills. It was very much this, you know, we're sick of being trashed by everyone and no one thinks we'll win. We're missing all these guys, but you know, next man up here and here and here. And then they come out and they get it done. So naturally you'd think there'd be some kind of a letdown too. Now you got a noon Sunday game. You're going to have some fans in the stands, but it's still not, it doesn't create the kind of home atmosphere that normally you would have. It did make a difference, I think, the other night, but it's still not, you're not going to bother like Deshaun Watson on 3rd and 10 on a snap count, right? So, no, I think there's absolutely – this is a – I think it's going to be a really tough game for the Titans. I do.
When we come back, there's a guy on the Titans offense that I don't think we're talking about enough here, both locally and nationally. I'll tell you who that is when we come back. But first, hope, health, and connection during these unsteady times. It's never been more important for all of us to have those in our lives, but it's even more important for our children and our teens. So please join STARS for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This six-week campaign will launch on Monday, October 19th, and will run until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways STARS provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back on Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Working through some technical difficulties, but we got it figured out there eventually. And Joe, a guy who's definitely gotten it figured out so far this year, Jonnu Smith. He's a guy, look, we've talked a lot about Ryan Tannehill. We've talked about Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, all these guys that have been really important to the Titans offense. You look around the league right now at the tight end position, Jonnu Smith tied for the league lead in touchdowns with Robert Tonyan and Mark Andrews in Baltimore. I mean, he's not really blowing you away with, like, the amount of catches and targets he gets in a game, but Jonnu Smith so far making those catches counts when the opportunities come his way.
Yeah, he's really good in the red zone. They're really good at using him in the red zone, and I think that's going to continue. He also – he had a little – one of those little, you know, little drop screens that he dropped the other night that I think might have been a – like a 50, yeah. 60-yard TD or wherever they were on the field. So they – I mean, and they had another nice little play, just a little tiny little drop to him, and he kind of cut it inside, if you remember that play, which I thought was interesting. He was kind of cutting against the grain. I in that moment, I was like, it just must be awful to tackle that guy, you know?
Yeah, they've got like three of those guys.
They
on
do.
Offense.
I mean, no one has the stiff arm of Derrick Henry, but I'm not sure Jonnu Smith isn't the worst guy to tackle on the team.
When he gets those, like when he builds up that head of steam, It's now it takes him a little bit longer, I think, to build up that head of steam than Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. But once he gets there, man, he's tough to bring down. He's having a great year. And we talked about heading into the season. He was, I think, everybody here locally's like breakout candidate that they throw out there. And we kind of started debating, all right, where does he fit in terms of tight ends around the league? Does he have the opportunity to get to an elite level? And I don't think he's there. I'm not sure he'll ever be an elite guy like Travis Kelce or George Kittle or anything like that. But you're talking about a guy that I think absolutely has the potential to be a top 10 guy.
Yeah, he's an interesting type of player. He's not a – like guys like Kelce, even Kittle a little bit, you know, Delanie Walker, he's not like those guys. And those guys aren't exactly the same. But I feel like, you know, Jonnu is definitely – a run after the catch guy who's just a tremendous, and his speed, power, everything, and he catches the ball really well. Again, in the red zone, they've been able to really find ways to utilize him. You know, that little slant for the TD he had, I mean, it was just a really nice design. And you've got to be good at catching the ball for one thing, and running a good route there. If he can get, you know, it's still like, can he be a route runner like some of those elite guys? Who's to say he can't? I'm not going to say he can't. But right now he's just a little bit different kind of player. But, man, it's just like you try to get him the ball. And like they did last year at times, give him a little pitch here or there, you know. Different ways to try to just get the ball in his hands. He is elite. If he continues to develop as a route runner, then who knows? I mean, he could be – a guy who is right up in that real upper crust of the position for a few years, and he's got to be the top priority of them, you know, a guy that they want to get locked up long term after this year.
And it's an interesting problem, and I use problem in air quotes for Arthur Smith at this point, because right now, I mean, you look at that offense with the way Tannehill's playing. We talked earlier in the show just about, I think, the lack of respect Tannehill's gotten across the league. We mentioned in the show yesterday, you know, he's gotten some guy came out and ranked him 18th on the list, but he's obviously playing at a really high level. Derrick Henry, we know about him. We know what he is. A.J. Brown, we think we know what he is. All of a sudden, there's a lot of weapons offensively that you have that I think, given what the matchups are on a weekly basis for the Titans, you can shift your game plan if you're Arthur Smith and really try to feature like one of four or five guys on this offense right now, which that's a luxury not too many offenses around the league have. And Jonnu Smith, I think, is a big part of that now.
Yeah, no, great point. It's funny. It kind of brings up a work thing for me at The Athletic. You know, we do a daily fantasy roundtable. Michael Beller sends a question to all of us covering teams around the league. And the question he had for me, which I got yesterday, was, you know, does this A.J. Brown development mean he can be, you know, a top 10 receiver in the league this year? And my answer was I'd hold off on that because of what you just said. Like, you got Jonnu Smith. First of all, remember, I think they force-fed some stuff to A.J. Brown, some quick stuff, which is never a bad idea anyway, but because they didn't have Humphreys, they didn't have Davis. When they get those guys back, I think some of those plays probably go to Humphreys because it's just – that's just his role. And, again, Davis has looked really good when he's been out there. So, for the offense, it's a great thing, and that diversity. And it seems like Tannehill right now seems to have good chemistry with all those guys. For one of them to have a monster year, or like from a fantasy perspective, it's not great. It's not quite like Patriots teams over all those years where it's like, don't draft any of those guys because like Tom Brady just, you know.
Even like the running backs now, they got three, and you're like, okay, that didn't do me any good.
Right. You know, they just throw it around, mix it around. I mean, I think A.J. Brown, you know, is going to have big numbers. I think Jonnu Smith will too, but because Tannehill – feels good with Davis and goes to Humphreys, and obviously we know about Derrick Henry. It's going to be, I think, equitably spread around, and it's great for their bottom line. You know, it's why they're basically they feel like a 30-point offense every time they go out there on Sundays.
So this is going to continue to be a conversation as they move forward here, but you got some contract decisions to make this offseason. You've got Jayon Brown coming up. You've got Jonnu Smith coming up. Hopefully, if you're a Titans fan, you find a way to make both of those contracts work. But I think, in my opinion, and you tell me if you disagree, Joe, it's pretty clear early on to me that Jonnu Smith of those two, I think, has got to be the priority moving forward.
I think so, yeah. And Jayon Brown's a really good player, and it's a tremendous success relative to where he was drafted. Can they do it all? I don't know. I don't know if they can make it all work. And then you know, Corey Davis will be interesting too. I just, you know, with Corey Davis, it usually when a team doesn't pick up an option, usually that player ends up somewhere else. We saw it with Jack Conklin, you know, and I think Jack Conklin would have had an opportunity to come back here for close to or maybe a little better than what the Browns paid him. And he moved on. And but I think with Corey Davis too, you know, he understands why. I mean, there's no like if you're Corey Davis, you can't have a problem with not having that number picked up
unless you're just not being realistic,
and he's not that guy. So who knows, maybe that's going to be really interesting. But yeah, I mean, of the priorities, if you're talking about, I mean, it's got to be Jonnu Smith. I think Jonnu Smith is moving into elite is strong, but he is a heck of a weapon. I mean, he's a different kind of guy.
He is. And I think the good news is, if you're a Titans fan, like, he's just, to me, starting to scratch the surface, I think, of what he could be. Like, I remember a lot, like, his first couple of years, he'd have a play or two in a game where he would do something great. And you're like, oh, my goodness, okay, I can see it with this guy. And then either it was a drop or a penalty or a fumble, and you're just like, man, is he ever going to get it figured out? And it's like when Delanie Walker went out for the last time, something just switched with Jonnu Smith, and he just figured it out. And I mean, I'm sure there have been examples of where he hasn't made a play, or there have been some bad, maybe a bad game for him here and there. I don't remember a whole lot of that the last year or so.
No. I mean, even in 2018, you know, second year, the play that stands out is that they absolutely, and this is Matt LaFleur, designed this great play for him against a certain coverage over the middle, and he just gets a little dump from Mariota, and just, I mean, he outruns everyone right down the middle of the field. those safeties trying to take an angle on him. It was like, whoa, look at that.
He's
guy.
Really fast.
Yeah, and he was starting it, and then he tears the ACL that year. So, but he's come back strong from that, and I agree. Every game you can pretty much count on him now to make big plays for this offense. And you're right, that first year especially. But and this is another example. I mean, like we talked about Josh Allen yesterday. Like sometimes it takes guys a little time. You know, we want to instantly evaluate players, and it's not an easy league to just snap your fingers and be great. And some people can pull it off, but it's still, I think, more of an exception than a rule.
When we come back, it was a quick and fast night last night for a local professional sports team. They got the job done on the road. We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
The ball bounces, and the final whistle, it confirms a message to all of American soccer. Don't you dare doubt Nashville Soccer Club. Don't you ever count this team out. They just will not back down. And on a night they absolutely needed a result, they have grabbed it deep in Texas. An extraordinary night in Houston. Nashville SC victorious 3-1, and they are back in the standings above the playoff dividing line. DJ
Khaled. Big night last night for Nashville SC, a 3-1 win against the Houston Dynamo on the road. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, three goals last night for Nashville SC in the opening 22 minutes, including just a beauty of a free kick by Hani Mukhtar to put them back above the playoff line against the Houston Dynamo team that was expected to win that game. Nashville SC comes out on the road with an incredible performance, specifically in the first half, and they win that game 3-1.
Yeah, the Mukhtar goal was awesome. And, gosh, we had Drake Hills on yesterday, and I didn't come away thinking great of their chances,
yeah.
You know, all the things that he laid out for us. He did at least make a good case for candy corn. Ugh. But, yeah, that's a big win. So they're back on pace to get in. And that would just be a big deal to me for them to actually make the postseason in this debut season.
It would. And Yonder Cadiz makes his debut last night for Nashville SC as well. And it's interesting. There have been a few times this year where we talked all season long about sometimes the finish hasn't been there for Nashville SC, and they've had to work really hard to generate some goals. But they've had a few games where, for whatever reason, they just seem to come in bunches. I mean, I'm talking 2, 3, 4 goals and a half, and they come immediately, and then you just kind of coast to a win after that with the defensive style that Gary Smith and Nashville SC likes to play. But another case last night of, for whatever reason, they just got hot and put three goals in the opening 22 minutes. And when you're able to do that and jump out to a lead so quickly on the road with how suffocating they can be defensively with the way Gary Smith likes to play, it's just hard to come back at that point against Nashville SC.
Yeah. I'm going to quote Gary Smith. This is from Ben Wright's Twitter account. "These guys, to me, are absolute heroes," he said after the game. Also, great. Here was more Smith, and this is Ben Wright from his presser last night. "Felt it was a big opportunity for some guys who have not seen the field as much, and they came up trumps. They took every single facet of playing in this 3-4-3 shape to a T." I love some of the lingo there.
Yeah, me too.
But, yeah, the defense has been there all year, of course. It seems to be a backbone, very reliable, very dependable. You get some goal scoring like this, and, you know, who knows what might happen. So it's nothing this weekend, but so there's a little time off, too, to rest. And Tuesday, big win against FC Dallas at Nissan Stadium.
Absolutely. Munson, a big night last night for your LA Dodgers.
Yes,
they were. I mean, I was worried heading into that game, down 0-2 in the series. I was very quickly in that game, not worried anymore. 11 runs in the first inning by the LA Dodgers, a 15-3 win against the Atlanta Braves to bring that series to 2-1.
Yeah, apologize to my neighbors for the noise that I was making upstairs.
You're probably used to it at this point.
Yeah, especially after that Lakers series. Like, I don't know what it is about that guy upstairs, but he really hates Danny Green for some reason. But
who is this Danny Green?
Who is this Danny Green guy, and why does he keep dog cussing him? I don't know. But but no, it's they carried on the momentum basically from game three, and that was that was the key for that. And you know, obviously I hated that they missed that opportunity to come back in game three. You know, I know Cody Bellinger hit the wall and hit a triple and he was on third and they could have tied it with Cody Bellinger at third, but obviously they lost that game. So they came back with a lot of momentum. Like, I know Mookie had a play to where he raced to the bag. It was a close call from Mookie Betts, but he definitely raced to the bag and got there on first base. And it was just ongoing from there. Max Muncy with a grand slam homer, and it was back-to-back homers at one point. It was a game to watch in that first quarter, in that first inning nonetheless. So I'm excited, and hopefully now the test is tonight.
It's a big one today.
Because Kershaw's on the mound.
So Kershaw can tie it up.
And to me, this is Kershaw's biggest game of his postseason career. Because if you lose this game, a lot of people already have these Kershaw's bad in the playoffs mentality. And so if he loses this with a chance to tie the series, it's going to be a lot of Kershaw slander on Twitter. It's not going to be from me, but it will definitely be a lot of Kershaw slander tonight.
Well, he's had some major meltdowns, right? I mean, he's earned it.
He has. And you know, it's hopefully, you know, the back spasms has cleared up by now, even though Kobe Bryant played 20 games with back spasms, but I know it's a different sport. But I always have to allude that to people. Like, people was like, oh, back spasms. But I'm like, yeah, it probably sucks to have back spasms, but I do remember, like, a 30-year-old Kobe Bryant playing with back spasms for, like, 30 games. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But this is a big night
nice
for
Kershaw. Nice little shot there by Muncy.
Got to get in a Kobe reference.
Yeah, got to, man. Kobe Bryant played with back spasms. But this is going to be a big game for Kershaw. And, you know, the bullpen for the Dodgers has been their Achilles heels throughout the postseason. And it's definitely – if they didn't put up 11 runs last night in the first inning, that game could have got out of hand. Because, like, even with Julio on the mound, like, he struggled last night in the beginning. He got out of a couple innings. A lot of, you know, that was instant trouble for him. But, like, you know, it's – I think that the bullpen needs to step up for the Dodgers. And it starts tonight with Kershaw, man. And he's going to have a big game tonight.
And it's like as disastrous of a night as it was for the Braves. I mean, Kyle Wright, he made it two-thirds of an inning. Gave up 7 earned runs.
Yeah.
It was so out of hand. And Brian Snitker kind of talked about this after the game. It was so out of hand for the Braves that they didn't really have to go into their bullpen and throw their key guys because there's just no point. Like, there's no point in wasting arms last night in that game. So, I mean, the Braves have been a team where basically the formula – is, and it really hasn't been that hard to figure out. The Braves' formula is, whoever your starting pitcher is, get me 5 innings. I need 5 innings out of you, and then we'll turn it over to the bullpen, which they kind of got the opposite problem of the Dodgers. The Braves' bullpen, very, very good. That's been their strategy. They saved their arms last night in that game. Interested to see tonight if they can just get adequate-level starting pitching and turn that game over to the bullpen. That's got to be the formula if you're the Braves.
Well, and that's – I mean, look, as someone who – followed some Detroit Tigers teams with great starting pitching, great lineup, but did not have enough in that middle relief. That's why they didn't win those World Series. They should have won a couple of them. And I like the Braves formula. When you feel secure in the late innings, the way baseball is played today, I think that's a good formula to win. Also, Houston keeps it
stays alive, baby.
So unfortunately, I guess. No. I mean, we're all rooting against Houston, right?
Most people. I know Munson's rooting against Houston for sure. Although, do you not want like a potential rematch against them in the World Series just to shove it to them?
No, I don't.
No, I don't.
I don't want them to succeed at all.
Yeah,
and I can't like, especially like after Jose Altuve threw that bad that bad throw in that last game.
It was bad.
I was like, if he was taller, he probably would have got that throw. I think his height plays an advantage of that, so unfortunately. But he hit a homer last night, and, yeah, the Astros got a win. But, look, I look at this Rays bullpen. Bullpen's pretty good. Their team's pretty good. So, like, I think they close out tonight. But I'm kind of glad the Astros did win a game because I didn't want the Rays just to completely sweep because then they would have got plenty of rest for their bullpen. They would have been fresh and ready to go. And then, meanwhile, the Dodgers are going through a dogfight with the Braves. And
already thinking ahead.
Yeah, possibly going to 6-7. So, you know, that's why I'm like, I'm kind of glad the Astros got a win because at least the Rays didn't sweep.
Speaking of baseball, Kumar Rocker, Tim Corbin talked yesterday. Pirates writers were all over that.
I bet they were.
Kumar Rocker may be the numero uno pick to the Pirates, but it was good to hear from those guys yesterday.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben text in, Jeff Van Gundy interviewed for the Rockets job. Why would that be a good idea for them? Hasn't he been an announcer for 15 years? I know he used to coach, but still.
Yeah.
It's an interesting fit.
It's the same philosophy as, like, John Gruden. And I think we talked about this, like, during a break of, like, you never forget how to coach. Like, and when you listen to these commentators talk, like, you can tell that they still got coaching in them. Like, I asked, why did Steve Nash get a job? In the NBA, it's all about how you manage players. It's really not how you coach them at this point.
Yeah.
The team kind of handles itself. Like, obviously, you got, you know, your Doc Rivers of the world who, you know, obviously he blows leads. But you got the Greg Popoviches. You got your coaches that have
There's different styles.
Yeah, there's different styles. But, like, there's a lot of styles that, like, look, we just need a manager. We need a team manager. That's what we need. And I think that's probably what the Rockets need. And they need a coach that can kind of step them down a little bit. James Harden, like, we need to work on you turning the ball over 10 times a game. We need to – Russell Westbrook, we need to work on your jump shooting and work on these different things. So, I mean, it's a good fit. I think he'll be a good coach. I think people would want to play for him, and that's kind of the main thing. It's also kind of like how college basketball is. Like, I think people would want to play for Van Gundy, and he's got an eye for talent because, obviously, he calls the league. He calls a lot of these games. He sees a lot of these guys play, so there's probably some guys that he's eyeing for the Rockets. So, I think it'll be an okay fit. It's not going to take the Rockets overboard, but, you know, anytime soon, but I think it'll be a good pickup for him.
Well, selfishly, I hope it doesn't happen because I really like him on the broadcast.
Yeah,
so.
I like Stan better on the broadcast, though.
And I do, too.
And he's going to, right?
And he's probably going to get.
They're both going to get jobs.
Yeah, so he's interviewing for
the detriment of viewers.
And then I read an article on Deadspin, which I usually don't read, like, articles on Deadspin, but it was an interesting article of, like, they talked about Mark Jackson and why Mark Jackson does not have a job. And he's like, the reason why Mark Jackson doesn't have a job is because of Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson is the person holding him back because, obviously, his stint with the Warriors didn't end perfectly, and so he's the reason why he doesn't have a coaching job.
I would think that would change soon, too, though.
Yeah, but it's the John Gruden thing, man. Like, you know, just because you're in a booth for, you know, 10 years or so, that does not mean that, you know.
Gruden's a good example of long layoff and pretty effective. He hasn't forgotten the game, so.
Yeah, absolutely. When we come back, a bad day yesterday in the SEC regarding COVID-19. Matter of fact, I'm not sure the day could have gone worse yesterday in the SEC regarding COVID-19. We'll talk about that next. But first, Joe, you have a word from FanDuel.
I do. Tennessee, like to let you know that sports betting is just about here. FanDuel Sportsbook has an exclusive offer to get you started. They're giving users $50 in free bets for signing up. So, $50 free site credit. All you have to do is register, verify early. There's no deposit required. And if you didn't know, FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason, because they got odds on all the biggest sports. They got a simple, intuitive app, makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and lock it in. It's very easy to use. I can attest to this. In fact, I'm about to lock in my game picks for a free game pick in the NFL games today. And unlike other sports books, when you win, FanDuel will get your money in as little as 24 hours because it's the right thing to do. So right now, the right thing for you to do, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Check out this fantastic app for yourself. You sign up and register. Use promo code Joe so they know that we sent you. Verify your account. You get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Promo code Joe. Get $50 in site credit when it's live. You must be 21 or older. You must be present in Tennessee. The site credit is non-withdrawable, expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for gambling problem support, call 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back on Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.